Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, praise God. We're continuing our four cup series, and we are on the third cup. And just if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, we've missed you, and I'll catch up real quick. How about that? Wasn't that great praise and worship? Boy, our team does such a great job. They do a great job. Praise the Lord. They put a lot of time in that, and I'm just so grateful that they're all so committed because they bring their gift to us. Amen? It's good. So turn over in your Bibles, if you will. Now, this is a great message. This is probably my favorite cup. Not that salvation, of course, is our... You can't really have a favorite cup, I guess. But I love teaching on what I'm going to teach on today because as a pastor, It's just what makes me do what I do is this third cup. And it's that cup of restoration, the cup of redemption. Amen. And you may not even know what that means, but good thing you're here today so you'll find out. So get your phones out. Let's use those things for some good. Amen. Get your phone, get your Bible, get something. Take some notes. You're going to need some notes. Amen. Listen, you're going to get out of here what you put into here. Amen. You know, we can come into church and just kind of like breeze in, breeze out, or we can come in ready to receive, ready to give, ready to just get all that God has for us. You know, church changes our lives. I'm so grateful for church. I am grateful. You know, I floundered around for years, but it wasn't until I just really committed to church, to this church, when I got saved and then, you know, kind of fell away from the Lord and came back. And thank God this church was still here. Amen. It was still here. It had people in it that helped me, trained me, mentored me, coached me. And I'm so grateful for that. I wouldn't have the life that I have without church. There's no way. I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have the peace. So we get that from Jesus, yeah. But you learn about it and you grow in it and you develop it in church. Amen. And so I'm very thankful for church. And so get your phones out, take some notes, let everybody on Facebook know where you're at this morning. Tell them church matters. Check in. This is where I'm at. Amen. You want to find me on a Sunday, you'll find me at church. So here we go. So we're talking about the four cups, and we find this over in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And these represent what the Jewish people call the four I wills of God. And so when we take communion now in the New Testament, the way we do it traditionally as a church is you get your little cup. How many cups do you get? Just one. You just get one. But if you study out the history and you study when communion back when the actually Passover and the Seder Supper and all that with the children of Israel, they had four cups. They had four cups. And each cup represented an I will or a promise that God had given. And the really great news is that these promises don't expire. Aren't you glad about that? They don't expire. They're still good today. So 3,500 years ago or around about that, God made these promises to the children of Israel, and we can still stand on them today and say, that promise is for me. And so each cup represents a different promise. The first cup is the cup of sanctification or the cup of salvation. Well, let's read Exodus 6. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited to get to cup number 3. Let me calm down a little bit. And no, I do not drink coffee. People are like, oh, you had a lot of, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. True story. I've had a sip. I think coffee's disgusting. You know, I just don't even know how people drink it. My husband is a total, I got my niece a t-shirt and it has now hear me out when I say this. It says pothead on it. Okay? But it has a coffee pot because she loves coffee so much. My niece Nicole, she loves coffee so much, so I got her that. But I'm not into coffee, so I'm just excited about the word. Amen? I'm excited about it. So Exodus 6, 6 and 7 says, therefore, say to the Israelites, this is before the children of Israel had gone through the Red Sea. It's before they had been taken out of slavery. This is before. This is God promising them. He said, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you. This is what we're going to talk about today. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Don't let that scare you. He says, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And so when we see this, each I will is a promise from God. The first one, he says, I will bring you out. That's that cup of salvation. It's the easiest cup because we just receive the free gift that Jesus did. Jesus did all the hard work. Aren't you glad about that? And we don't earn our salvation. It is a gift. We don't work for it. Then there's that cup of deliverance. We talked about this last week. That cup of freedom. And it's where we're already out. God has brought us out from under the enemy, right? Colossians says, I have translated you out of darkness into the light, into the family of his dear son. And so when we get saved, my spirit man, he is changed instantly. My spirit man is made alive, right? And then we get to that cup of freedom, that cup of deliverance. And that's where we're going to work on the other two parts of us. How many know there's two more parts? Yeah. I'm a three-part being. My spirit man gets born again. He's made new instantly when I drink that cup of salvation, when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But then there comes the work part. That's when I got to start working on cup number two. Jesus says, I'm going to pull you out, but now we got to get that slave mentality out of you. He said, I'm going to pull the children of Israel. I'm going to pull you out of Egypt, but now I got to get Egypt out of you, right? And so that cup of deliverance is where we really get delivered from things that try to snare us, the things that we can be slave to. Man, I don't want to be slave to anything, because I'm not made to be a slave. You're not made to be a slave, but we can be slave to things. You say, how can I be enslaved to something? Something that holds you in bondage. Things that hold us back. Fear can hold you back. You can be a slave to fear. You're so afraid to step out. You're so afraid of everything. And so your schedule is dictated on what you're not afraid to do. Right? Well, I can't do that because this might happen, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You're slave to that. And so that cup of deliverance is going to help you because it's going to work on my soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body. Those two still need some work. How many realize that? How many know my mind, my emotions, all that, it needs some work. And so that's the cup, that cup of deliverance is going to set me free. And then the cup of restoration, or the cup of redemption. Cup of redemption. God said, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And then the last cup, oh, so powerful, the cup of praise. What we call the cup of praise, or you could call it the cup of fulfillment. And so often we don't move through the cups. Everybody starts on cup number one, but you can't just stay there. How many know God's got more for you? Amen. God's got a lot more for you. And then we get into cup number two. And here's how you know if you're stuck in cup number two, which they say in the Church of America, 87% of believers stay stuck in cup number two. And here's how you know if that's you. You're just trying to get good in your life. You're trying to get rid of the bad and get some good in your life. That's your mindset. You're just trying to change some bad habits. You're just like, man, let me just make it through this day. And God didn't intend for you to have the mindset to make it through the day. God intended you to have the mindset that you have a blessed life. Amen? You've got a blessed life. And so we want to power through that cup number two. It's a process. Cup number one is instant. We get saved. It's instant. Cup number two is a process that we just keep going through, where God's doing a work in our life. We're growing out of things. We're growing into things. Amen? Because God wants to do a work in your life. And then we get to cup number three. And so many people never make it here because you're so hung up on cup number two. How many know there's two more cups? Right? There's two more cups. And so we're going to talk about the cup of redemption today. And this is so powerful. The thing about the word redemption, where God says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment, is that sometimes we use words in the church that we just hear all the time, but we don't know what they mean. We don't know what they mean. It's like, what does that even mean to be redeemed? We sing songs about it. I've been redeemed. But what does it mean to be redeemed? It's powerful, but you got to know what it means. And so we're just going to look at what redeem means. Here's just a simple version. It means to buy back, or to put you back. You know, you get what to get you doing what you were created to do. That's what redeem means. To get you doing what you're created to do. God is interested in not only saving the children of Israel, not only saving you, but delivering you, but he also had a plan. How many know God's got a plan? He's got a plan for you, and he wants to redeem you back. But let's just look at the Webster's. How many know what Webster's is? Webster's definition of redeem. We got it up here for you. It says to buy back or repurchase. Notice it says repurchase. Because all of us, when we're born, there's a time in our life that we kind of go our own way. Everybody has gone your own way. Some for longer than others. But I kind of look at it like, you know, here I am, you know, when God redeemed me, I had my life and I was doing my own thing. I was away from God. I was beat up a little bit, you know, on the inside. I had some pain, some hurt, some stuff going on. I felt like, you know, my mom used to love to go to flea markets. Does anybody here like to go to flea markets? It's okay, raise your hand. It's all right. Praise the Lord. It's always like, I don't know. Should I raise my hand? You know, flea markets can be great. Or it could just be like a lot of stuff. You know, you're kind of like, why would anybody buy that? You know, why would anybody buy that? And you know what? I felt like that was me, you know, just used up. I was messed up, screwed up, all kind of ups, no, none good. And I just felt like, man, nothing's going to happen with this. This is messed up. I was like an old ratty thing in a flea market. That's how I felt like. But you know what? Jesus comes into the flea market because everything's used at a flea market, right? You're all used up, but Jesus comes in and he's like, how much is she? And they say, it's going to cost you everything. But you know what Jesus said? I'll pay it. He repurchased me. He took me out of the slave market, so to speak. He repurchased me. He redeemed me. He redeemed me. And he redeemed you. You've been repurchased. I love that. To buy back or to repurchase. So no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how many wounds, scars, or missing parts you may have, it doesn't matter. No matter how ratty and beat up you are at your little flea market, it doesn't matter. Jesus comes in. He's like, I'll take it. I'll take her. I'll take him. He repurchases us. And then another definition of redeem is to change for the better, to reform. To change for the better, to reform. And then the last one, I love this, to repair or to restore. So when God says, I will redeem you, he's saying, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to repurchase you. I'm going to change you for the better. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to your original purpose. Amen? You know, what is redemption? It's simply put, the Egyptians were not supposed to be making bricks for Pharaoh. That's not what they were called to do. They were to live a productive and a fulfilled life, and so are you. He took them from mud pits, and he made, do you know, and sometimes people get real bent out of shape if you start talking about Jews today. You know, there's a lot of things going on, all this kind of stuff, but you can't deny the facts of some things. Jewish people are only 23%, or actually they're 0.2% of the population of the whole world. They're not even 1%. They're 0.2. But listen to this. To date, they have won 193 Nobel Prizes, which is 23% of the total award. Isn't that incredible? God redeemed them. You say, oh, it's not about God agreeing with everything they did, but you got to remember where they came from. Where they came from. And so you might be here today and you'll be like, man, you don't know where I've come from. Doesn't matter where you've come from, you've been redeemed.
Yes.
Amen? It doesn't matter what's in your history, you've been redeemed. It doesn't matter your family history, you've been redeemed. Amen? It doesn't matter your parents or your ancestors, you've been redeemed.
Yes.
Amen? Some people, I think it's so funny, you know, I'm not into ancestry stuff, I'm just not into that. I'm not into it. You know, I have my dad's niece, she's like real into it. And so she came here for my dad's 85th birthday, and she had him do a DNA thing because she's going to send his DNA in and find out, you know, who we really are. It's like, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I don't tell her that, but I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, but on the inside, I'm like, you know. And the thing, and if you're into that, that's great. Be into it. Be into it. But don't let it define you.
Come on.
Amen? If you want to know where, you know, what you are, that's great. Good for you. But don't let that label define you. Amen? Because it doesn't matter what that thing comes back. When my dad, if he, you know, they think we're German, but a lot of people think we're Polish. I mean, who cares? You know, I'm me. I am redeemed by the Heavenly Father. I've been repurchased. I'm in the family of God. The blood of Jesus flows through my veins. It doesn't matter where my family is from. It matters where my family is now.
Amen.
Right? Some people are so caught in the past. It's like, let God bring you out of that flea market. Amen? Let God bring you out of that. You've been redeemed. Amen? You've been redeemed. And so we haven't gotten the DNA back. I'll let you know. You know, I know this. I know my mom's a Kentucky hillbilly. That's what I know. Amen? You know? That's all I need to know. I know biscuits and gravy run in my family. That's what runs in my family. But the thing is that we've been redeemed. And you think about what God has done in the lives of the Jews. I mean, where they came from to where they are. Man, God can do that in you. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're in. It doesn't matter. God is going to do a work. And here's what it is God says that he's going to redeem them with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Oh, isn't that good? Now, don't get scared about that judgment part. It works for your good. Amen. It works for your good. Because God, he sees potential in you. God sees in you what sometimes we don't see in ourselves, what most of the time we don't see in ourselves. The whole purpose of salvation and deliverance is to return you to your original purpose. Do you hear that? That's the purpose of salvation. That's the purpose of deliverance, to get you where you're supposed to be. So you don't want to miss that part. You don't want to miss it. He created you for a specific assignment, for a destiny. God has a destiny for you. And if you're here and you're like, oh, I don't know. No, it's true. God has a destiny for you. And over here in Exodus 6:6, let's read again. He says, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. You say, how do I drink from this cup? The answer is found in the promise. He says, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm. Why is it an outstretched arm? You know why? Because we don't see ourselves where God sees us. He's got to reach down to get us. I love Psalms 18:35. It says this. This is what God's ready to do for you. He says, you stoop down to make me great. Isn't that good? Psalms 18:35. You stoop down to make me great. That's redemption. Most people have an incorrect view of themselves. It comes from their past. It comes from problems. It comes from mistakes they've made. But we need to let God heal the pain and the scars of yesterday. We need to let God heal those. We need to quit letting those being road signs saying, you go here because this happened. You do this because this happened. No, I've been redeemed. Amen? I've been redeemed. Aren't you glad that God never gives up on you? I love the idea. Just, you know, it says that he redeems me with an outstretched arm. He stoops down to make me great. I love it because when I was in the pit, when I felt like I was in a pit, I just meditated on that, on the scripture in Psalms where it says, he reached into the pit and pulled me out. He reached in. You know, there's no low that's too low for God to pull you out of. Amen. No low. And I always say, doesn't matter how you got into that pit. Doesn't matter if you were pushed. Doesn't matter if you were shoved. Doesn't matter if you jumped in. Amen. You know, a lot of times we jump into the pit. We're like, there's big signs all around. Don't go. Don't go. And we're like, right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you got in there. God will reach down and pull you out. Amen. You know, God uses people, and it's so amazing when you think about what God has done. You know, I think about, you know, Pastor Mark, you know, my brother, Pastor Mark. My brother, Pastor Mark, and I deal with this a little bit, but not as much as he did. He was very, very shy. Very shy. And if you knew him, you knew that was true. He was a very shy person. And so much so that you know, we were on a cruise one time. This is years ago. We're on a cruise, and we're at the show, and Mark is sitting in front of me, and so I could see the back of his head. And so the guy who's doing the entertaining, he's coming out into the audience, and he's going to pull somebody out, you know? And he's coming right for us. Now, I'm looking at Mark, and he looks like the guy's coming right for Mark. And the back of his neck is getting redder and redder and redder. His ears look like they're just going to explode because they're so red. I mean, his heart's like this, you know. And I'm behind him, and I'm doing the same thing because I think he's going to pull me because it's just so not us. It's not us. And then you got, like, Donna and you got Scott that are like, oh, me? Oh, sure, you know. And thank God, I think Mark's prayers work because the guy picked Scott. He picked Scott, not Mark. I think Mark was like, in the name of Jesus. But you think about that, and you think about even for me, you know, just the thought of getting up in front of people and talking and stuff like that, and Mark the same way, and then to see what God has done. Amen? It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done. And I remember seeing it and watching it in my brother and just seeing God just use the gift that was in him that he did not see, but God saw. Amen. And you know what? There's gifts in you that you may not be able to see, or when God begins to speak to you and remind you of those gifts and what God has put on the inside of you, and he's trying to restore, he's restoring you, he's redeeming you, he's bringing you back to that place, back before any hurts, back before any mistakes, back before people said things about you, back before that, he wants to bring you back there. And you know what? You may not be able to see it right now, but God's got stuff in you that is huge and big and is great. It's redemption. You get saved and delivered so you can be brought back to the way God made you. And you know, we see it. I mean, I remember just being in awe of what God did through Mark because I knew him. I knew him, and I knew that it was only God could do that. Only God could do that. And you know what? When you think about that, and we think about how we see ourselves, we've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. And you may be sitting here today, and you're like, I don't even know how God sees me. Well, I'm glad you're here today. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, look at this verse. For we, look at your neighbor and say, we. I'm part of we. I'm part of we. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Isn't that good? When God sees you, he doesn't see a flea market mess. Amen? When God sees you, he doesn't see that. He sees you as his masterpiece that he created so you can do the good work, good things he planned for us long ago. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And so, and then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, another, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Listen, we don't get saved by works. That's instant. But once we're saved, there's work to do. Amen. He says, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, God didn't create you and then think, what can I do with this person? Right? That's not what God did. God did. You didn't come walking in and get saved and come walking in, and God's looking at you like, I don't know. I don't know. What are we going to do with you? You ever have it? You ever have anybody say that to you? What are we going to do with you? It's not a compliment. That's not a compliment. It's not a compliment. What are we going to do with you? That's they're thinking, man, you're not fitting in anywhere, right? But God doesn't do that. God created you because it's completely opposite. God didn't create you, then give you a purpose. That's very opposite. God had something for you to do, then he created you. So the Bible says. The Bible says before you were even in your mother's womb, Jeremiah 29:11. Before God had a purpose and a plan for you. And so the cup of restoration, the cup of redemption is to get back to that plan. Amen? To get back there. God had something for you to do, then he created you. God has a specific purpose. He had it in mind when he created you, when he created you, his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. And some of you, you just need to spend some time just meditating on that. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, when I got into the things of God, and I knew the call of God on my life, just like most people do know, you're just too afraid to admit it. You're too afraid to admit it because it's too big. It's too hard. It's too not you. Or you've done too much to disqualify yourself. Listen, I know. I was there. But I determined I will walk out the plan of God for my life. I am going to walk out the plan of God for my life. And so I had to just meditate constantly that I am a masterpiece of God, that I am created in his image and his likeness, that the past is the past, amen, yeah. That I am redeemed. I had to meditate on being redeemed. My very, 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 very first sermon that I ever preached at Rhema for a grade was being redeemed. Amen. You know why? Because I needed to get it, not just here, but here. Yes. I needed to get Egypt out. I need to get all the disqualifications out. Because if I didn't, what Jesus had done for me, I wouldn't walk in. See the difference? You got to walk in. Listen, should I be disqualified from ministry? Absolutely, in the eyes of people. Absolutely. I have a checkered past that's ugly. It's ugly. That's just the facts. That is just the facts. You're looking at me like, oh my God, it's true. And I've never not said it. It's the truth. But God. Yes. Amen. God. Now, if that past was yesterday, we'd have to have a conversation. Amen. But we're talking a long time ago. You gotta let God bring you. But here's what happens. You say, why don't more people drink from cup number three? Because there's too many diversions in your life. Too many diversions. God doesn't want you drinking from the cup of redemption, so he hinders us. And he creates a life diversion. A life diversion. You know, Brother Hagin used to say there's a ditch on either side of the road. Because you can be diverted by good things and you can be diverted by bad things. There are some people that are diverted by their careers. They're so caught in their career, which is a career is a great thing. But you can't let a career become your God. Can't do that. You know, or there's people who say, I was really going to serve the Lord, but, you know, this and this happened, and now I can't. You're in a diversion. The enemy's got you in a ditch. You need to get back on the right road. You know, a diversion, you know, for me, diversion was always the wrong relationship. Just would take me away from the Lord. And then guilt and condemnation would come in. And then I would be like, oh, I'm disqualified. I can't do anything. I remember at 25 thinking, oh, I've done too much time has passed. At 25, too much time has passed by. I've missed the opportunity for God to use me. Can you imagine how stupid I was? But you know, the thing is, I believe that. I believed it. And so I walked in it. What you believe, you'll walk in. What you believe, you'll walk in. And so the enemy is always trying to divert us. So you say, oh, you're too busy. You know, I hear people say all the time, I'm too busy to walk in the plan of God for my life. Listen, if you ever think you're too busy, do a TV fast. I'll tell you, I've done several where I don't watch TV at all. And listen, I love TV. I always joke that I was raised by Aaron Spelling, you know. If you don't know who that is, you're young. That's why. But Aaron Spelling was The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Charlie's Angels. I loved all those shows, you know? I loved it. And my dad's a TV hound. I can be a TV hound. I mean, so, you know, I've done many times where it's just like 30 days, no TV. Man, you don't know how much time you have until you turn the TV off. You'll be looking around at me and Scott looking around like, is it time to go to bed? It's like 8 o'clock at night. You're like, can we go to bed? Yeah. You know? Listen, we're not too busy. That's a diversion. The enemy's trying to convince you, or the enemy will tell you you're too old, or the enemy will tell you you're too young. The enemy's always going to tell you something. What is he trying to do? He's trying to do a detour sign to divert you into another path that's not the path God has for you. And it's not all bad stuff. It could be good stuff. You know, a lot of times hobbies and things like that, they're diversions. And I'm not anti that stuff. Everything just has to have its place, right? The devil has his own plan for your life. And that's something that's the best thing you can realize is the enemy's got a plan for you. Just like God has a plan, the enemy has a plan. The devil is trying to keep people from finding their dream, and he'll put anything he can in the way. Anything he can. He'll put whatever works on you. It can be career, money, marriage. I'll tell you a story about somebody. They don't go to church here. I promise my right hand of Jesus, they do not go to church here, so don't look around. They used to. Years and years ago, before we even moved to this building, I remember just a friend of mine and just loved the Lord, and just called, man. She was called. She was like, before she got with this guy, she's like, man, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to do it. Man, just missions just went through her veins. It's all she talked about is missions. She wanted to be a missionary, right? Then she married somebody who didn't want to be a missionary. Guess what happened? Never a missionary. Never a missionary. Never fulfilled. Never happy. And do you know, I found out recently that she's divorced. Divorced. You know why? Because fulfillment will never come from any other place than God. Never. Never. Other things are temporary. They make you happy for a moment. That's why it's so important, single people, who you marry. Don't marry somebody that's not walking the same way you're walking. Don't do that. Because in the end, somebody's going to give something up. Somebody's going to give something up, and it's going to be painful. Now, can God do some work there? Of course he can, because here's the great news. Well, I'm going to keep going. Don't let anybody take you from the plan. Amen? The enemy's got a plan for you. And so it can be career, it can be money, it can be marriage, it can be hobbies, it can be problems, it can be tragedy. Man, I've seen where tragedy in somebody's life is a total diversion. Total diversion. Can't let that happen. He'll do anything to derail you from your purpose. And the enemy, he doesn't fight fair. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, this is Paul talking. He says, we've wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Listen, the enemy is trying to stop the plan of God for your life. The sooner you know that, the better. The Greek word for prevented, and I looked this up how to say it. You ready? I'm not even going to try. I looked it up. Darn it, I forgot. But I'll tell you this. When I heard the Greek word, I was like, that sounds like a word that people say. It's ekopto. Ekopto. That's it. Ekopto. It's E-G-K-O-P-T-O. And it literally means to cut a ditch in your road. To impede one course by cutting off his way, mostly translated as the word hinder. And so Paul's saying, how many know Paul's pretty spiritual, right? Paul knows the word, but he still was hindered by the enemy. He said, we wanted very much to come to you. Paul tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. He hindered them. But here's where those mighty acts of judgments come in. We see where that outstretched arm is. He is going to stoop down. God says, I will stoop down and make you great. Isn't that good? God will reach wherever you are. Did you get that? God will reach wherever you are. His arms are so long, he can go wherever you are. But here's where those mighty acts of judgment. God will confront any enemy of his children. Any enemy. The devil is trying to keep people from finding their dream. And he'll put anything in the way he can. He'll put false loves. He'll put distractions. He'll put debt. But here's the really good news. God will confront any enemy of his children and turn it. And that's where Romans 8:28 comes in. Those mighty acts of judgment, that's for the enemy. Because in Romans 8:28, it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, some people take this scripture out of context and you think God causes the bad part. No, God does not cause the diversion, right? God didn't cause the diversion. When you got starry-eyed and went the wrong direction, when you made choices that weren't in alignment with the plan of God for your life, let me tell you, I've been there. When we do things that God has no part in, and it's a diversion, the enemy whispers, oh, this would sound good, this would feel good, this would be great, and it's a diversion. It doesn't line up with the word of God, and it's that ditch, and we fall into that ditch. God says, no matter what diversion you have taken, you can still get to where you need to go. You can still get there. Doesn't matter what diversion, that's what Romans 8:28 says. Doesn't matter what diversion has happened in your life, what detour you have taken, it doesn't matter because God says, I can still get you from there to here because I redeemed you. Yes. Isn't that good news? Yes. And so when we think I've gone too far, I've made all these mistakes, all this stuff has happened, God's like, I can still get you from where you are. I can still get the prodigal son from the pigs. I can still get him home. And God can still get you home. Amen? And so he says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Listen, some things that happen, God has no part in. God has nothing to do with. That is your decision. It is contrary to the word of God. It is contrary to wise counsel. God has no part of it. No part of it. No part. And we've all been there. The less we're there, the better, though. Amen? Because you know what? Here's the thing. We talked about this the other night in Sunday night class. If I go 10 miles out of the way, how many miles do I got to go to get back where I need to be? 20. But actually, somebody pointed out, it could be 30. Because I'm 10 miles out of the way, so I went 10 miles. I got to come 10 miles back, so now I'm at 20 miles, and I lost the 10 miles that I could have been here, right? And so if you've gone 10 miles out of the way, God can still bring you back. But, you know, here, this is the thing, and those people who use grace, they say, oh, you know, it'll be all right. Listen, I'm going to step on your toe a little bit. You ready? Listen, God will bring you back. Redemption, God redeems. But when we willingly go places we're not supposed to be, there's a journey. And God will help you through that whole thing. But it's tough. It's tough. God's part is got to do it. Amen. That's just a little freebie. So don't be thinking like, oh, you know, because some people use the scripture. They're like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. And then God will turn it for good. You're just dangerous. Will God forgive? Yes, but repentance means to turn away from something. That's right. It means to turn away. Does God love you no matter where you are? Yes, absolutely. Will God redeem you? Absolutely. Will God turn it for good? Absolutely. But man, there's still pain involved. So don't be foolish. Paul said, don't use grace for occasion of the flesh. Yes. Don't do that. But I'm so glad to know, and I'll tell you, the diversions that I took, so many diversions. Listen, anger can divert you. Having a bad attitude can divert you. Not honoring God's word can divert you. And next thing you know, you're someplace you never thought you would be. And I'm so glad that God took all that mess and he turned it for good. Turned it. And God will use whatever mess you got yourself into, whatever mess somebody did to you, God will use that and turn it and use it for good. When I was preparing for this message, it reminded me that there's this minister that I just have such great respect for. And I'll tell you, but she used to be a prostitute. Like for real. In Las Vegas. She was a prostitute in Las Vegas. But God. God came into her life. God changed her life. And God redeemed her and brought her back. So now she's doing what she was originally intended to do. She's preaching the gospel. She's reaching out to people. She's a pastor of a church of guess who? Prostitutes and former prostitutes.
Come on.
What happened? God used what the enemy meant to destroy her life, right? I think we'd all agree a life of prostitution is meant to destroy your life. I think none of us would disagree with that. He used what was meant to destroy her life. He used the diversion, the big ditch that she fell into and was into for years. But then God, with an outstretched arm, reached out, stooped down, and pulled her up and made her great. And now, I mean, she's got a church, and she goes into strip clubs, and she tells the girl, she's like, I've been where you are. I've done this, and look at what the Lord has done. It's amazing. It's amazing. Did God want her to be a prostitute? No, don't be crazy. What father would want their daughter to be a prostitute? None. None. He didn't want that, but the enemy diverted her and she fell into a ditch. But God redeemed her.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Hallelujah. He redeemed her. Just like he redeems us. Doesn't matter what was there. And people say, oh, I can't believe you. Well, believe God. People say, I can't believe, I have people say all the time from my past, I can't believe you're a pastor. And you know what I tell them? Well, believe God, because I am.
Yes.
Amen. Believe God, because I am. Come and see if you don't believe. Come and see me burn if you don't believe me. You know? I had a girl from high school reach out to me on Facebook. She's like, I got to come and see this. And she did. She came. She sat right back there the whole time. She was like. And we went to 2J's after. And she's like, man. She goes, I can't even believe this. I'm like, I know. God is so good. And so she got saved. She goes to church somewhere else. She received. She's like, man, I can't believe this. God redeems you. Amen. And you know what? I'm going to be bold enough to say I'm God's masterpiece, and he's still working in me. Amen. Is there still more? But, you know, how do we drink from the cup? How do we drink from it? How did that prostitute become a pastor? How did that happen? Jesus. But here's why so many people don't move from deliverance to redemption. Redemption is being put back. The work is already done. Look at your neighbor and say, the work's already done. You are redeemed. You got to drink from the cup.
Come on.
Amen? Because so many people stop at cup number two because you're so focused on you. And redemption, God wants to bring you back to what you're originally designed for. And we are all designed to work for Jesus. So when we don't use the gifts and the talents on the inside of us for the glory of God, we stay stuck in cup number two. And that's why so many people do. Because they think, oh, I'm too screwed up to be used by God. God uses anybody. Amen? You're not going to start behind a pulpit. I didn't start behind a pulpit. That lady in Vegas, she didn't start behind a pulpit. We started somewhere. Amen? But you got to use your gift. Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. So how do we drink from the cup of redemption? How do I walk in my redemption? I got to use the gift that's on the inside of me. And it was given by grace. And that word grace there, and right here, it means the Greek word, which is what the New Testament was written in. It means charis, C-H-R-I-S, charis. Charis, I'm sorry, it's charis. And it's where we get the word charismatic. Charismatic, that's where we get the word from. And so what that means is a grace or a charis, it's a divine enablement. It's just easy for you. There's something that's easy for you. You just, when it rises to the top in you. You know, explaining things to people has always been a gift. It's a gift I have. I'm a teacher. I'm gifted. It's not me, it's God. It's the gift he gave me. And you know what? So it comes easy to me. Comes easy to me. And so we got to find what comes easy to you, or what, you know, not that we don't work on it because we develop our gifts, but we're naturally go to that. When I was a kid, remember, always kind of go back to when you're a kid. Because a lot of times that's where you find your charis. Because it just comes out. It comes out naturally before all the world pops stuff on top of it. When I was a kid in our basement, I grew up in Indiana until I was 10, I had an entire classroom. And I would spend hours teaching my students. Whatever I learned at school that day, I would come home and I would teach. I had a blackboard. I had a desk. I remember when I found this thing, it was like angels sang. It was a teacher's planning book. Right? I found it at the hardware store where I would go. My parents owned a restaurant and a store, and there was another store, and I walked over there to spend my $5 a week allowance, and I was just moseying through the store. I was only like 9 years old, and I remember coming up and seeing this book and looking at it like, oh, and going home and just planning out the whole year. Why did you do that? It's just, it was life to me. I loved it. I loved doing it. I love doing it. I always thought I'd be a school teacher. Went to college to be a school teacher, but it never felt right. The Lord kept saying, nope, nope. What happened? See, that's my gift. You got to find yours. And I love seeing people operate in their gift. I love being at my house at night, and me being doing something and hearing my husband worshiping in his room, playing his guitar for hours. And worshiping. I love that. You know what? Because it's his gift. I love that. I love to come in here on Saturdays because usually Marisol is here on Saturdays and she's coming up with these crazy ideas for the kids and she's making things. And the other day she got these things. They're like as long as this pew and they're carpet rolls, right? And she's like carrying them, like, oh, here, I'll help you. So I'm carrying a carpet roll. Long story short, I got caught between two carpet rolls. I about died laughing. You know, that's not my thing. You know, it's not my thing. I'm not good at that. It doesn't come naturally to me. She's like waltzing through with a carpet roll. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm just like, you know, it's not my thing. You got to find your thing. Because every one of us has been given a grace. You know, there's other people. Your thing is hospitality, man. You can cook like nobody's business. That's a gift from God. There's other people, you love to care for sick people. That's a gift from God. Sue has that. If anybody's sick, man, the compassion just oozes out of her. I'm just standing in the back like, ugh, you know? I mean, it's not my thing. It's not my thing. I know a lady, her thing is making money. She is anointed to make money. She just has a gift for it. It's her thing. It's her thing. There's some your thing is to be a mom. To be a mom. And you're gonna raise the next Billy Graham. Amen. You're gonna raise the impact. That's your thing. It's your thing. And so, you know, the Bible says that we have different gifts according to the grace given us, according to the charis given us. And so our instructions from God are to pursue that gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, listen. Follow the way of love, listen to me, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. How do you walk in redemption? You get back to what you're made to do. What you're made to do. And some people are like, oh, that's not a gift from God. Man, they're people that are just so, sometimes you think something isn't a gift, and it is, because it's not natural for everybody. It's natural for you. Or some people, you can look at a pile of wood and suddenly it's something fabulous. And the rest of us are just like, it's your gift. Yeah. Some of you have the gift of words. You can write things and say things, and we're all just like, wow. You have a gift. You have a gift. And all of those gifts, when you walk in that gift, you're walking in your redemption. Because you're getting back to what you were made to do. Selfishness is an antithesis of redemption. And that's why so many people don't walk in it, because we're too consumed with us. We don't walk in our gift, and our gift is always a gift. It's a gift. It's always a gift. And so when we think about that, over in Psalms 139, verse number 13, let's look at how do you discover your design? And you know, the number one question people ask is this: what am I here for? What is the plan for my life? You know, we saw gifts in action today. We saw gifts, the gift of singing, the gift of worship. You know, I think of, and she'll probably be a little upset with me, but that's okay. I think of Jessica. You know, I know Jessica. And she's very artistic, and she does hair, and she makes everybody look fabulous and feel fabulous. But where is she? And she shines there. But when she's up here, it's like she's a different person, isn't it? It's like, and God's only just beginning. I think of Selena, same thing. Man, when they're up here, it's like these girls that we've got, that they're singing, Selena and Jessica and Megan and Anais and Andrea, all they, when they sing, it's just kind of like, it's like you just want to follow them, right? It's like, I just want to be part of that. I just want to be part of it. What are they doing? They're operating in their gift. But you got to desire that gift. And you got to not let the enemy cause a ditch for you to fall out of it. And I tell you, musicians, I'm married to one, I know. Ooh, the enemy fights you. Because you're so artistic and so over here, the enemy just has a big playground there. You gotta be careful. But God has that gift, we see it. And it's powerful to see. I love to see people operate in their gift. But you gotta find out what it is. Find out how God made you. In Psalms 139, 13 and 14, it says, God said this. He said, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Here's the thing. Write this down. If you don't hear anything else I say, we got to close up here in a minute. Say this. Your design reveals your destiny. Your design reveals your destiny. How you're made reveals your destiny. I was made to be a teacher. I was made. My design revealed my destiny for where I am today. Amen? My husband is designed to lead worship. His design revealed his destiny. Amen? You get it? So you got to find out what your design is. You got to find out what it is. Because so many people are like, man, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You look into your personality, your gifts, your passions, what you love, what you dream about. God made you the way you are. Quit trying to be somebody else or act like somebody else or have somebody else's personality or grab somebody else's gift and just use the one God gave you. Amen? Use the one God gave you. In 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, everybody's like, oh, the love chapter. The love chapter started with a fight. It started with a fight. These are leaders in the church, and each one of them has a gift, and they want everybody else to do their gift. The people who, they say, I want to give everything to the poor, and you better do it too, but everybody doesn't want to give everything to the poor. Other people are like, I want to sing like an angel, but everybody can't sing like an angel, right? Some people say, I want to pray in tongues all day. That's all I want to do is pray in tongues. Listen, everybody's not going to pray in tongues all day. And so Paul told him, he said, listen, you can pray in tongues all day. You can know everything. You can be the teacher. You can give everything you have to the poor. You can do all this, but if you don't do it in love, it's nothing. What was that? That was people in their gifts, and they wanted to make everybody do it their way. We all have a different gift. Everybody's gift is different. God made you the way that you are. And once you're sanctified, once you get born again, once you get delivered, now you discover that redemptive calling and embrace that design. That's how you walk in redemption. And that is how you get fulfillment. You can't get it any other way. And you know why the church is so important? Because church is training ground for your gift. You can't get fired right? You know, you can't. You just get moved. You get gently moved. You know. I used to be in children's church. I thought I'd be in. You know, I'm a teacher. I got a gift of teaching. Put me in children's church. I was gently moved from there, because I don't do well there. You know, my first thing. And so listen, that's why you got to get in there. You got to see, because sometimes as we're working, as we're walking, we're like, this is not me. This is not me. And that's what I found out when I was in the nursery. This is not me. This is not my thing. And then they moved me to toddlers. This is totally not my thing. And then they moved me to 6 to 11. I'll never forget, I was in 6 to 11. I had all these little kids, you know, and they're looking there. I'm like, all right, now, come on, we're going to learn some things today. And they're all looking at me. I'm like, oh, this isn't for me, you know. This isn't for me. I remember this one little kid, he's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, you're going to learn something today. True story. That kid still goes here, believe it or not. He's an adult now. He's an adult. But I was like, you're going to learn something. Pipe down. You're going to learn something today. I was gently moved out of there. See, that's why church is so powerful, because you can train here and you can learn here, and you're covered by love and you're covered by mercy, and people want to help you because they've been there. Amen. You don't get fired from the church. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? You're not getting a view, but you can blow it as big as you can. It's like, oh, let's just gently move you over to another area. Let's try you over here. That's how church works. But you gotta find what it is. The secret is to get close to the one who designed you. That's the secret. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Isn't that good? Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. That's not good. Glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Isn't that good? It's in Christ. You want to know what you're here for? Listen, you're not here just to get married. You're not here just to have a job. You're not here just to have children. You are here because you are part of the glorious living design that God has for you. Yes. That's what you're here for. And all those other things are great, but without walking in my redemption, they will never fulfill me. Never. Never. People are like, oh, my kids fulfill me. Let me give you a wake-up call. Your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to move out, and you're going to be like, and the best gift you can give your kids is to show them how to walk in their redemption.
Yes. Yes.
That's the best gift.
Yes.
Show them a glorious living,
yes.
Not just day-to-day getting by. And so I encourage you. You know, here at BBC, we have my favorite Thrive Track class is 301. My favorite. And I'm going to tell on somebody else because I'm just on a roll here. We got to go. But I'll never forget when Sue, you don't mind if I tell the story, do you? Okay. She gave me that though. I'll never forget, because sometimes your gift is big and you don't see yourself that way. But as you find out what your gift is and then you see it, you're just like, man, I've been right all along. Because the enemy will do everything to talk you out of it. He will do everything to tell you are not qualified. He'll do everything to tell you are disqualified. But I remember years ago, and Sue was taking her, we do these profile, we do a personality, we do a spiritual gift thing. What is that? That's to help you discover your gifting. That's to help you discover your design. And we do that here at BBC. If you haven't done it, do it. Do it. But I'll never forget, I was given the class, and Sue took the class. And one of her, there's usually three things that you're gifted at. And her number one or number two one, I think her number one was compassion. Her number two thing was shepherd. Shepherd. And when she saw that, tears came in her eyes. Tears came in her eyes. And you know why? I looked at her and I said, man, I've always seen that in you. And she said, me too, but I didn't think anyone else did. Listen, God sees in you what you may not see because of what people have said, or what your mother said, or what your father said, or what this has said, or your level of education, or whatever. God can work through all that. And you know what? She shepherds. Everywhere she goes, she shepherds. She draws people in. And she helps them, and she teaches them, and she encourages them. she shepherds. And one day, she'll shepherd here when the time is right. That's her dream. That's my dream. But you got it. But you know what? She had felt that for years, but didn't think it was a possibility. Listen, God wants to stoop down, and he wants to bring you up and make you great. Find what you're good at. Amen? Find your gifting. And when you see it on that paper, you're probably going to be like, wow, that makes sense. That makes sense. Just like it made sense with her. Just like it made sense with me. You know what my gifting is? My gifting is teaching, administrative, and shepherding. That's totally me. That's totally me. The first thing I want to do when I get to your desk is organize it. That's the first thing I was like, oh, this is a mess. This is a mess right here. Right? Let's fix this up. Let's get you on a system. Right? That's the first thing I want to do. That's the first thing I want to do. I want to get you on a system. And then I want to teach you the word. And then I want you to discover your gift. Amen? If you've never taken Thrive Track, man, do it. Do it. Get with Pastor Angel. He'll get you going on it. Do it. And if you have taken it, listen, this is, don't stay in that 87%. They find out, but they never walk it out. You want to know why only 13% of people do it? Because they walk it out. And what's your gift? Start using it for the glory of God. Amen? There's people, your gift is to make money. Your gift is to build things. Your gift is to lead people. Your gift is in the workplace, in the marketplace. That's where your gift is. But everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got one. We got to recognize it and walk in it. That's redemption. Amen? That's redemption. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that just that people are stirred on the inside, that, Lord, that they will find their gift and walk in it, that we will walk in our redemption. We will walk in being bought back, being repurchased to do what we were designed to do. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we have been repurchased to do what we are designed to do. Lord, help us all know the answer to that question and let us walk in it. And Lord, I pray for those who know, you know, but you're not walking in it, that you would drink from the cup of redemption. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'd rather have 30 people walking in redemption than 3,000 walking and wondering. Because 30 people doing what they're gifted to do can change the world. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. Stir in our hearts. Remind us we are designed for a destiny. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's receive the offering. Who's ready to give this morning?